Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Hour two of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Plenty to get to here on the show. Lots of props on FanDuel for Thursday night's upcoming NFL draft. We've got it covered for you starting at 7 o'clock Eastern right here on Sports Grid. So let's get to our headlines here at the top of the hour for hour two. We've actually have a big non-sports story that I do want to mention actually here. But first, let's get to the sports. 15 games on the slate tonight in baseball. I think it's a great day to play DFS or make some bets. Go have at it. Have some fun. Same thing in the NBA. Steph and Luka tonight, the future. I still think the future of the NBA. Great game there. David Price, it's been tough. He opted out last year. Just kind of playing out the string of his career right now in the Dodgers and went on the injured list. But let's move on to this one here. Kyle Shanahan on Jimmy Garoppolo. He was asked a question, Davis, yesterday about will Jimmy Garoppolo be on the roster. And you'll have to correct me. I think this was after the weekend. I think that was the question. I apologize if I'm wrong on that one. And Shanahan's response was, we could all be dead by Sunday. George Kittle, the superstar tight end of the 49ers, then sent a tweet out basically to Kyle Shanahan saying, I'll give you a call, let you know I'm alive. What a weird thing to say to reporters about, by the way, a draft. Like, I hate to pull my Iverson out here, Davis, but like the NFL draft and a player on your team, and that is the response. What a weird thing to say.
Very odd, which, you know, by the way, tells me that Shanahan is very tired of getting questions about this trade that they made, because ostensibly they basically traded three first round picks for the right to select Mac Jones. Like, I think we all kind of believe Mac Jones is going there. And basically everyone on social media and, you know, NFL TV and everything, like no one really thinks this is that good of an idea. There's a lot of people who don't think Mac Jones is going to be that good of a professional. We have seen Kyle Shanahan do things like this in the past. They traded multiple future picks to trade up in the 2017 draft to draft running back Joe Williams, who never played for them. They outbid themselves this most recent offseason for the services of Jerick McKinnon, who by, you know, week five, his knee basically made it to the point to where he couldn't play. He could only play like 20 snaps a game. We have multiple instances of Kyle Shanahan bidding against himself to acquire the services of a player that he loved and that the management of the 49ers didn't love. And it also has been reported that he has final say in the war room over GM John Lynch. Just feels like some weird stuff going on in the organization there. And that's where this quotation comes from, right? You know, Kyle Shanahan's pissed. He just does not want to deal with these questions. He wants to take his quarterback and he doesn't want anyone to question him. And he is not enjoying all the people questioning, you know, his methods and what he wants to accomplish on the field.
Yeah, and there's got to be some inexperience there, which is surprising because he's now been in the league and his dad has been in the league for, you know, 30 years as a coach or coordinator. I mean, look, what he would have to understand and I think it was just frustration. I agree with you, Davis. I think that's where it comes from. But what you have to understand is once you move up into that spot, everybody knows what you're going to do. We don't know which quarterback, but everybody knows they're going to take a quarterback. That puts pressure on the guy that you have there. And that's still, and Jimmy G was his guy. I'm sure that he sat in that same room, Davis, and recommended. He was the highest paid player in the NFL for a period of time. So it's a tough situation to have to go through. And of course, they're going to move on from Garoppolo. It's just a matter of when, not if. Other story, though, that is percolating today, and I suppose that's why we're seeing in New York the fans being more open to having fans in the stands at Citi Field and also at Yankee Stadium. I think they're moving the percentages up to about 30% capacity, maybe a little bit higher than that. The CDC about an hour ago, less than that, half hour ago, announced that people who are outside and not in crowds or among strangers no longer have to wear masks. Now, again, folks, this is the CDC saying this, not me, just letting you know what is being said. Not a sports story, but I think it does correlate to sports because outdoor stadiums, Davis, it would seem to me that as we creep closer to the middle of the season, I think we could be at full capacity in almost all Major League Baseball stadiums. And of course, for football, I think there's a good chance of that as well. And of course, this is for vaccinated people only, just to be clear. No one's telling me that in my ear. I read it. Vaccinated people only no longer have to wear masks, according to the CDC. Just curious what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it's good news for people who enjoy live outdoor events, you know, going to games and stuff. I'm looking forward to getting to a Cardinals game here pretty soon. And we're getting lots of good news on the vaccine front, at least here in the United States. You know, we've started to, we opened up sending some of the AstraZeneca vaccines that were not even approved for use here in the United States, but have already began being used in Africa and in countries in the European Union. Apparently, the United States has 65 million orders of these vaccines on hold and is going to start sending them out because we don't need them here, which is, in part good news and also not great news because it implies that not everyone in the United States wants to get vaccinated, which I think will probably end up. Now, you know, there will be consequences of that decision one way or the other that we'll have to pay down the road.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, I'm looking forward to going to more games this summer for sure, taking my family somewhere in the country, no doubt. That's a big part of what I like to do is travel. I haven't done that in over a year. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, it's time for us to dive back into FanDuel's prop for the upcoming Thursday night NFL draft. Stay with us and stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. A quick reminder, Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, you know where to be. It's right here on Sports Grid for our draft coverage. Everyone here on Sports Grid participating in one way or another for the upcoming NFL draft. I know I'll be a part of it. Davis will be a part of it as well. Did they determine what you're doing now that the Chiefs don't have a pick? Have they shifted around your focus?
I haven't heard from Greg, but hey, I would love to come on and talk about whoever the Ravens take with that Chiefs pick because I do not love this trade for the Chiefs. I know it makes them better for this year, but they're going to have to pay the piper eventually. You know, they're paying Mahomes 25% of their cap in perpetuity. They wasted their first round pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. They traded away their first-round pick in 2019 to acquire Frank Clark, who really has not made much of a difference, and then spent a second-round pick on Mecole Hardman, who has not made a big impact on the field. So we'll have plenty to talk about when that pick comes up, and it might just me being angry about what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, it could be, but look, you got the best quarterback in the world, and I mean, you can't complain about having a winning team for as many years as the Chiefs are going to win with him and a few more, sure, for sure. All right, now the biggest movement, and it's all on rumor, which is so crazy, but the biggest movement we've seen in, let's say, the last week or two over on FanDuel, Davis, has been Justin Fields and where he may potentially go. So I'm going to turn this over to you. Break it down for me kind of what the scenario is here at this point.
So what is happening right now is we've gotten a ton of reporting from Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, Jason Lockenfora, that Justin Fields is falling. So originally we had the story about Justin Fields dealing with epilepsy, and he said that it never impacted him at Ohio State, which is probably true. You know, we never got any reporting about it while he was there. We never got any reporting that the epilepsy stuff is why Georgia wanted to move on from him. But that doesn't mean that it didn't impact those decisions then. Remember, Justin Fields, who was so great at Ohio State, couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia and transferred to Ohio State. You know, people honestly do forget that Justin Fields was enrolled and played for Georgia for a time. And we're also, like, basically we're just getting a lot of rumblings that Justin Fields is going to be one of these guys who surprisingly falls in the NFL draft, that Mac Jones and Trey Lance are the guys that San Francisco is looking at, and that potentially maybe even the Carolina Panthers, now with Sam Darnold — they traded multiple future picks for Sam Darnold — that maybe they also would not be interested in Fields. The Dolphins, I don't think, would take Fields. You know, the Eagles, I don't think, are interested in taking Fields. So it just looks like he is going to be the big guy who on draft night is going to be the surprising faller.
So let's take a look at it now. Was minus 190 to be the third overall pick, now plus 650. And obviously, if he does go three, you can cash in on quite a bit. But I got to tell you, I really like this one, the second one we're showing here, the over 8.5 at plus 160. Because, Davis, if he does slip back outside of four or five, I mean, he may not even — I think I would still go with this over 9.5 or even 10.5. Some team would obviously have to jump up to get him at that point. So I do think taking $100, throwing it on the over 8.5 to get 160, very reasonable for me.
Extremely reasonable, especially because if you look at the way the NFL draft is shaking out right now, the two teams that it makes the most sense to select Justin Fields, you know, character concerns — I don't believe that he has any, but we've heard rumblings about those — epilepsy / medical concerns, whatever. The teams that make the most sense are the Denver Broncos at 9 and the New England Patriots at 15. Those are the two teams who have the biggest hole at the quarterback position. The Broncos roster, I think, if they had, you know, a B-plus quarterback, would be ready to contend for a wild card spot immediately. You know, if you think about how bad Drew Locke was last year, but how, you know, their skill position players are good, their defense is good. And then the Patriots, I mean, look, the Patriots need a quarterback. I've loved Cam Newton for a long time, but he is not as accurate of a thrower. Even if Cam Newton was still really good, I think he's 32 years old, 33 years old, and he has, you know, a lot of wear and tear on his body. His shoulders are not doing well. He's taken a lot of hits over the years. The Patriots need a quarterback, and they need one pretty quick because Belichick is either 70 or about to turn 70. Like, it's time for him to start winning some more championships before he retires. And yeah, over 8.5. I mean, though, if the Panthers don't want him, over 8.5 should be one of the best bets on the board.
I think so. Looks like that to me. All right, let's move on to Trey Lance. And there's not a ton of value here unless he goes third overall, in my opinion. You can get plus 195 on that. I don't think that's going to happen, so scratch that off my list. Over 6.5, you can get plus 184. Davis, I know you're convinced that 5 would be the lowest that he would go. Under 6.5 is where the money would go, but you're just — I mean, look, you're going to risk minus 230 to win 100. I guess it feels like a pretty safe bet, but I'm never in the business of laying 160, minus 160. I'm never going to lay minus 230. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and especially with NFL draft betting, where, you know, we're not wagering on a sporting game where we have, you know, all kinds of numbers that we can use. We can look at all these analytics. We know there's going to be a definite outcome. You know, to be clear, what we are wagering on are rumors. We are wagering on, you know, Adam Schefter tweets and things that we hear and murmurs and things that people are suggesting on podcasts and on Sports Grid, right? Like these are educated guesses based off of reading the tea leaves of tweets. Like let's just call it what it is. That is what it is. And so basically my kind of thesis for draft betting is I don't really ever want to lay juice. I would prefer every bet that I make for the NFL draft to be a plus number bet. So whether that be, you know, exactly Trey Lance to San Francisco or Trey Lance to be exactly third overall. Like I would rather do that and live with being wrong and know that I can still make it up with some of my other wagers as opposed to, you know, laying this big juice. So for example, you can kind of look at this situation as a whole and you can go, okay, Justin Fields was minus 190 to be third overall. Now FanDuel has him listed at plus 500. Trey Lance was listed at, I think, plus 400 to go to the 49ers, and now he's listed at plus 150. Mac Jones listed at minus 190. And you can say, well, if I want to bet this under, the smarter way to do it is to bet exactly third overall as opposed to the under.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense on that. And look, I think that the Fields shift has been really significant. My opinion on him is I think he's going to be great. I think he's probably, if not the second, he's the third best player in this draft. And some team, provided that the medical stuff is a non-issue, is going to get very lucky. And I think we're going to be looking back on this one as someone that shouldn't have slipped, because this guy played at a very high level in college. He played very well at a very high level, Big Ten. I understand, Davis, the points you made about Georgia. Those were all valid. And look, Fromm didn't turn out to be as good as probably Georgia even thought. But I do like him a lot. And I think that the Las Vegas Raiders or some other team that's down in the draft that potentially may want to get a backup for a year and then start the next year, or even put him into a competition with someone else, I think that that would be the guy that I would go grab and get, because I've saw him play. It's a tangible thing for me. Okay, coming up next. The late first round and early second round is very compelling. Players like Kadarius Toney, Rashad Bateman, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. So good in college, Travis Etienne. Where will they end up going on draft night? We're going to answer those questions for you Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern. But it's no fun if we don't have a preview of that. So you can get these odds on FanDuel, and we're going to review them next, go through all of the late first round, potentially early second round picks, and see if we can come up with some value for you. Also, we have Fantasy or Reality coming up as well.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Also stay with us for that. Sports Grid 60, no doubt. Tomorrow on our show, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s rookie cards. Which are the top three you should be buying? Josh Cohen will tell us on tomorrow's show. So stay tuned. More draft discussion next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, and if you are looking for FanDuel props, player over-unders in the 2021 NFL Draft, the time is now. You can log on to the site and literally get hundreds of bets and possibilities there. And so we've been waiting on these, Davis. It's time to break them out here a little bit. How confident are you in the later first round? I know you did your mock draft, submitted it, done for Sports Grid, Daily Roto. How confident are you as the draft rolls on, like, let's say from 16 through 32?
Well, this is the secret about mock drafts. The absolute best, most plugged in, successful NFL reporters, they're going to get like 10 picks right. Of the 32 picks, they're going to get like 10 exactly right. Right spot, right team. It's hard to account for trading. And then the big thing it's hard to account for is if there is a surprise trade. So let's say the New England Patriots trade up to 7 and they select Justin Fields with that pick from Detroit, right? Something like that. And I'm not even saying I think that's going to happen, but it's something that could happen. You just enter into a whole different world, right? Where the draft, all the mock drafts, they kind of grow out the window. So I'm pretty confident in what I have up on sportsgrid.com, but I am, not arrogant enough to think I'm going to nail, 15 picks here in the first round for sure.
All right. Well, let's take a look here at some of the later ones here from, let's say, 25 and above, at least the way that FanDuel sees it. So, well, let's start off with the Gators, Kadarius Toney, a player that probably wants to wear number one, by the way, in college football. So maybe he wants to wear number one in the NFL. His FanDuel total where he will be drafted, first round pick, 29.5. Although that seems to be a little uncertain here because the juice is -134 and the under, of course, 29.5 as well, +110. You know, there's going to be a lot of -110s and just basically even money because it is a guess. But Toney was a really good player in college. And once Trask took over as starting quarterback, his career really took off. Plays running back, wide receiver. He plays everywhere, honestly. So I don't know what the comp you have for him is, but he could do a lot of everything. And he does feel like Edwards-Helaire a little bit, but on the lighter side, I guess, would be an example.
Yeah, so if you look at the teams that could, potentially ruin this for you either way, it would be the Packers taking him. It would be the New Orleans Saints taking him. It would be the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Ravens doing something to take him. However, I like the over on 29.5 here, even laying the juice, which I know contradicts what I just said in the last segment, which was that I don't like to lay the negative juice on these NFL draft props. But I think that Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, and Rondale Moore are all going to go ahead of Kadarius Toney. And then we have our locked-in first-round guys, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. Those guys are going to be gone. They're going to be off the board by pick 15. And so if Toney is the 7th or 8th wide receiver gone in this draft, there just are not enough picks in the first round, I think, to get him there. So I think that he is not going to go in the first round.
All right, so second-round pick there for Davis. Let's move over to Bateman, a great wide receiver at Minnesota. And he, on FanDuel, I'm seeing 28.5 here, -110, and still considered one of the better wide receivers in this draft. There were so many good ones in last year's draft. It was just incredible. I guess two-part question here for you, Davis. Where does Bateman compare to if this was 2020, and where do you have him in 2021?
So I think that he is pretty similar to someone, not as good of a prospect, but how he's viewed in the class. I think he's pretty similar to like Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson, that range of guy. I think he's a worse prospect than those guys, but I think he is going to go in the latter half of the first round. I think the Ravens are pretty interested in him, and I think the Packers should snap him up if he is available when they go. And because I think Bateman is probably the 4th best wide receiver in this class, I lean the under on him. And by the way, I think this is a corresponding wager to Kadarius Toney. So if you bet the over on Kadarius Toney, I think the under on Rashad Bateman makes a lot of sense, and vice versa. Whereas if you really like Bateman, you snap him up at -110, you bet the over on 29.5 for Kadarius Toney. And I think those are correlated wagers that FanDuel won't know are correlated and will let you bet both.
All right. Now at running back, we'll go back to back here. I want to go under here on Najee Harris. He was so good in college, so good at Alabama. And I think that this is where our fantasy background will pollute our opinion on the wagering here probably a little bit, because wherever Harris ends up, it's going to be in a monster fantasy spot. It would be my guess. The total is 28.5 on FanDuel, -110 to win 100. So, I mean, I hate to just say, Davis, like, what are the who are the teams that need the running backs? Because it just doesn't work out that way in the draft. Teams just sometimes take extra guys. I don't think that a lot of people saw Taylor going to Indianapolis last year. He did, took over. Mack was the guy before that. A similar situation could happen with Harris. There's probably a situation right now that we're not even thinking of that he ends up in.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, the under here, just I think it's a smash, because I think the Pittsburgh Steelers pick at 24, and I think they are locked and loaded into taking Najee Harris, which is interesting, because if you look at some of the other prop betting numbers around the internet, you see, you know, the Steelers are like minus 150 to take a running back, minus 300 to take an offensive player. So I think that this is a case of, you know, running a sports book is very hard. We don't talk about that a ton on the show, but making sure that every posted number you have is the right and most accurate number where both sides are going to be equally profitable for the sports book, that's a hard job. I do not envy the guy whose job it is at FanDuel Sportsbook to make sure that all their posted numbers are good, right? That's a difficult job. And so I think this is not a good number. I think that he goes at 24 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that, you know, because it's at 28.5, I think you're opening up to someone trading up for him, another team deciding to take him. Like, you just leave yourself a little bit of leeway. So I am pretty interested in betting the under on 28.5 for Najee Harris.
Now look, the other running back who's in this thing, I could make the case that Etienne will have just as good or better an NFL career. He was an absolute monster at Clemson. And I know Etienne played a little bit deeper, played a little bit better at the end of the season, but Etienne is just great. He played without Lawrence for a few games too last year. And yet on FanDuel, they're telling you he's a second round pick. Minus 128 on the over, Davis, 32.5. Under is +104.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that this is interesting, because something we've started to hear over the last couple of days is that the Buffalo Bills are the team that has started to talk about Travis Etienne, which, by the way, makes a ton of sense for their system. They don't need Travis Etienne to run in between the tackles. They just don't need someone like that in their offense, because they don't run between the tackles anyways. They were the second most pass happy team adjusted for down distance and score in the NFL last year, behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. They just chuck the ball. So they need someone like Etienne, who is going to run outside of the tackles, who is going to catch passes. I mean, he could settle into a role for them where he runs the ball 150 times a year, but catches like 80 or 90 passes, you know, kind of like a Darren Sproles-ish style role in that offense. And I don't love the under here, because if the Bills don't take him, I don't see, obviously the Chiefs are not going to take him. The Buccaneers are not going to take him. I assume that Najee Harris is going to be off the board to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're really looking at a really narrow range. I don't love this one as a bet either way. If I was going to bet it though, I would definitely take the under, because I just think it's so likely that the Buffalo Bills are the team eyeing him.
When did they take Zach Moss? What round did they take him last year? Second round, third round?
I believe he was a third round pick, and you know, teams move on from third round picks all the time. It's not a great use of resources by them, but teams move on from third round picks all the time.
Yeah, and look, Singletary at this point is not proven to be an every down guy. Yeah, I mean, in fantasy, we tend to have a blind spot. We just know the names of the players who were there and just assume that those are the guys. And I think you're right with Buffalo. They're just never going to run up the gut. It's just not happening with them. All right, let's close it out. Offensive line. Now let's go back up to the top of the draft real quick as we close it out. Let's just do Penei Sewell here. His total is 5.5 +124. And truthfully, Davis, there's rumors today, you know, percolating that maybe because Miami made a deal that they would be willing to take him at 6. I don't believe that to be the case. I don't think that that is happening. So if anything, I would lean above 5.5 here if I had to.
Yeah, I lean above as well. I lean the over 5.5, because if the Bengals do not take him, this actually, again, hard job at FanDuel, because the Falcons are like 2% to take Penei Sewell. I think it would be ridiculous to take Sewell over Kyle Pitts. I mean, Pitts is just such a unicorn, and I think that's what the Falcons are going to do. And then so then you're asking yourself, well, are the Bengals going to take Sewell, or are they going to take Ja'Marr Chase? And every indication that we are getting from the market and from the team itself is that they are going to take Ja'Marr Chase. Like Chase specifically to the Bengals is like minus 180. All the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook suggest he's going there. So even at minus 150, I do think the over on Penei Sewell looks pretty safe.
Yeah, I do too. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into some fantasy or reality. Our focus will be on Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe the last time we'll be saying that. Who knows? Also, Albert Pujols has actually put together a very respectable first month of what some people feel will be the last season of his career. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We'll tackle that on fantasy or reality as well. And also, we'll ask the question as to whether or not there'll be even more trades in the 2021 NFL draft before we even get there on Thursday night. So stay tuned for that as well. Final reminder, 7 o'clock Eastern this Thursday. You got to be right here for our draft coverage. Last year, it was just, I mean, honestly, I'm so proud to be part of what we put together from start to finish last year. We're going to do it all again for you on Thursday night, and we're almost there. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our...
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock. We got you here until 2 o'clock on the East. And Davis, tomorrow is our last day here on Wednesday. Not here on the show. Don't get people too excited. Our last day before the 2021 NFL Draft. And I have to say, what feels really good about this is the fact that we have so many other things going on. I get cringeworthy when I start thinking about where we were a year ago. Like it hit me that every day I used to wake up to do the show and I used to put together the list of whose birthday it was in sports. That's what we did here for 15 minutes every day. We talked about whose birthday it was here on Sports Grid. I got to tell you, I am thrilled that not only do we have the NFL draft, but all of these other sports going on. I took it so for granted, I must admit.
I mean, we also did the Daily Roto Hour last year on the network. It was only an hour. It wasn't 2 hours. But basically what we did is we went deep on the NFL draft, man. We went so deep. We were talking about fourth rounders. We talked about every prop they had posted. We did every prop they had posted for the upcoming Major League Baseball season. We were talking about League of Legends. We were talking about competitive CSGO. We did at one point, we simulated a season of the baseball season in MLB The Show 20 and ran a contest off of that simulation. I mean, it was terrible, dude. Like, we should feel so blessed that we have real, actual games to talk about. Like, anytime we ever wake up and feel cranky about, like, oh, you know, it was just a normal day in the NBA or a normal day in baseball, we should honestly feel blessed. Yeah.
Yeah, Brett, our producer, Brett Levy, he loved to put together our stadium. We went through every single stadium, who played there, how many championships they won. I mean, this was every day for like 3 months straight. It was just crazy. And I remember the anxiety of waking up going, oh my gosh, like we have 2 hours on a show today. How do I keep it interesting? It was one of the bigger challenges I've had in my career for sure. All right, well, back we go. Fantasy or reality? Let's start off today with a statement. We'll see if it's true or false. Davis and I will answer the question. Julio Jones, future Hall of Famer on the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of questions surrounding what Atlanta may do in this draft. Maybe a wide receiver will factor in. Maybe it won't. We know they have Calvin Ridley on the other side. He's clearly a number one, just playing alongside Julio Jones is one or 1A. Fantasy or reality? Julio is still a Falcon on Monday.
This is a reality because I think that they are just not gonna get what they want in a trade package for him. I saw it rumored that it was like a second round pick this year and a second round pick next year. Like at that point, what is the, I mean, Julio has at least one good year left, I think, if not two or three. You know, he is 32 years old. Now he was banged up for most of last year, but Julio Jones is he's just a great NFL wide receiver. They are going to draft Kyle Pitts this year, it seems, instead of drafting a quarterback. So it's not like they're entering into a big rebuilding project. So I just don't think they're properly incentivized to trade him at this point. So I think he will still be a Falcon on Monday.
Does Atlanta have any running back on their roster that you're confident in? Any? I'm literally asking a question. I have no idea. Do they have anyone?
Yeah, they have Mike Davis, who was serviceable for the Panthers last year. But I mean, you know, that's also the easiest position for them to figure out.
Yeah, I was saying maybe Julio Jones for a running back needing to get out of somewhere else trade would be a possibility. But that's where I was going with that. Yeah, I'll say still be a Falcon. Yes, I will agree with you on that. Not only does he have one good year left, he's still going to play, I think, three or four more years. You know, his career kind of reminds me a little bit of Andre Johnson's career, where he was really good right up until the last year. And then you knew it was over. I think he went on to play from Houston to Indianapolis, I want to say, Andre Johnson. And you just knew it was over at that point. When Julio Jones switches teams, that's when you know it's over. I don't think it is. I still think he's got two good years left. And wow, what an offense they'll have with Pitts and with Julio Jones and with Calvin Ridley next year. Albert Pujols has been a nice surprise in 2022. Who would have thought you'd be picking him up at this stage in fantasy and playing him? 5 home runs now on the season for Albert Pujols. 667 in his Hall of Fame career. Fantasy or reality, Davis? Pujols will play in 2022 and get to 700 career home runs.
Yeah, this is true. This is a reality because of the way baseball works. You don't have to play every day. He can play for an American League team and DH. There are a lot of bad teams who, you know, fans are going to be in stadiums next year. Pujols is a big enough name that casual fans know who he is. He'll sell a couple tickets. He'll sell a couple jerseys. The Angels aren't going to have room for him next year because they're going to have Brandon Marsh and Joe Adell up on the major league roster. They're just, they will have ran out of spots to play Albert Pujols. I mean, honestly, they're going to run out of spots to play him a little bit later this year, but they're still going to play him anyways because they're paying him all that money and because he's Albert Pujols. So he needs 33 home runs. Let's give him 10 more this year. So he'll need, you know, 20 odd home runs next season. He will play. He will get the home runs. It might not be pretty, but I mean, to be fair to Albert Pujols, he's only striking out 11% of the time, a 238 isolated slugging. That's the best he's been since 2015, which is crazy to think about. You know, but I do think he will play for at least one more year.
His wife on Instagram posted that this was his final year a few months ago and then took it down and said that he has not made a final decision. I disagree completely. I think that this is the end for him. It feels like a landmark at 700 home runs, but it really isn't. I know how it sounds, but if he could get to 715 and break Babe Ruth, we're talking about a different conversation there. He cannot get to 715. And I still think, even with the magic that he has kind of turned back and put together, he has had some really, really rough late seasons where his body has fallen apart. Pujols is not playing next year. Whatever his numbers are this year, it is the end of the line, in my opinion. He would have to play an American League team. If the Cardinals were an American League team, I may feel a little bit different. If the DH comes back next year, and he could go out as a Cardinal, it may change a little bit of my conversation. That's the only scenario I see playing out here, as he goes home to St. Louis to end his career, because let's be honest, he's better as a Cardinal than he was as an Angel. So for me, this is fantasy. Pujols does not get to 700. It's not a, as big a landmark as it is getting to Babe Ruth's number at 715. If that was within reach, it would be a different conversation for me. Okay, we've seen more pre-draft trades in history in 2021 than we've ever seen in the NFL draft. Now, the question is, are they done? We saw even another trade today, not a big one, but a small one. Fantasy or reality, Davis, speaking of the first round, there will be multiple trades during the first round of the NFL draft. So if we're setting the number on FanDuel, we would have to put it at over, under 1.5 trades in the first round Thursday night. Fantasy or reality?
I'm gonna say this is a reality. I'm going to take the over on 1.5 because I see three spots that are pretty inviting for trades. So the first one is Atlanta at 4. If they get someone who's willing to offer a King's ransom for Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, or Penei Sewell, I think that that makes sense for them to trade back, especially if they are not going to take a quarterback. Then I see the New England Patriots trading up for Justin Fields as a real probability. And then you enter into the spot at the back end of the draft where someone trades up to 32 where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick. Someone trades up to 30 where the Buffalo Bills pick, because those picks are always hot commodities to trade because you get the extra year of team control. So if you draft a guy in the first round, you get that extra year. That's why the Ravens traded up for Lamar Jackson. And the Buccaneers do not have any gaping holes in their roster that I think they fix with that number 32 selection. So I am taking the over. We will see more than one trade.
I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say there will not be multiple trades in the first round. If I had to guess, I thought when David Kanter came on the show, he said something very interesting. Because of not having OTAs and the coaches having nothing to do, they're just sitting around. And I still think that is the case. They just don't have a lot to do. So they're proposing all these different trades and making all of these calls. I think the Eagles definitely are in play, from what I understand, maybe making another trade in the first round on Thursday. But I think that they could happen even before. I think they could happen tomorrow. I think that they could happen Thursday afternoon before the draft even starts. Within the actual first round, when we're on the air here on Sports Grid, I am going to say fantasy. I'm going to say one trade only, and that is it. In the first round of the NFL draft. But that's a guess. There's no factual evidence. Maybe there is for Davis. There's none for me going into Thursday night. Just a prediction that we'll only see one trade in the NFL draft. So that's how we'll close out this fantasy reality. What about Pujols going to Kansas City, Davis, to wrap up his career? How would you feel about that?
We don't have any room for him. We have Jorge Soler. Jorge Soler is going to hit 40 home runs a year for us for the next 3 years. We would welcome him. And by the way, this is a very prototypical Royals thing from the past. We love to sign washed up old, guys who used to be really good. Like Kansas City was like the final resting place for some of these guys' career. But we're in a youth movement, man. We got Bobby Wood Jr. coming. We have a bunch of young arms coming. We don't need Albert Pujols. And maybe a decade ago, I would have said, look, it would be fun to see him hit his 700th home run into the fountains out there in outfield, but we don't need him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I think that without a doubt that Pujols will have an opportunity. I mean, really, isn't it all about the opportunity to play? And once he has the opportunity, how does he turn that down? I mean, that's the problem with this fantasy or reality that's really hard to shake. I totally get it. I'm just going to say I'm going to say that he goes out with a good season, and that's the end of the line for me. So, all right. Well, coming up next, we got the Sports Grid 60. So make sure you stay with us and stay with us here on the grid. I personally think that we could be looking at some exciting things happening, not just in the first round, but in the second and even third round of the draft. We've got you covered from start to finish from the fantasy angle and from the betting angle as well. Davis, do you think that the best fantasy player in 2021 in fantasy football is Pitts? Do you think Pitts is the number one fantasy guy that we should be focusing in?
No, it will be Najee Harris or Travis Etienne. It's just so much easier for the rookie running backs to come in. So right now in early fantasy drafts, Najee is going in the middle of the third round. Travis Etienne is going at the beginning of the fourth round. Ja'Marr Chase in that fifth, sixth round mix. I mean, Chase, if he steps in as the number one wide receiver for the Bengals, he will, you know, he'll have an opportunity to feast. But Pitts should, you know, be around 600 yards and five touchdowns would probably be my projection for him as a rookie, which is good for a tight end.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I think that that's a possibility too. All right. So stay with us. Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And then we got to get out of here. So make sure you stay with us on the grid throughout the day. Scott Farrell coming up, going coast to coast with you guys later today, 4 o'clock Eastern, in-game live, game time decisions as well. And we have a great YouTube channel where you can catch all of our shows, all of our videos, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Also over on Sports Grid Radio and the great Scott Wetzel every single day. Bagels and bad beats in the morning. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, David Matic, right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. But we've come to the end of the line on this show today, folks. Hopefully you guys will join us again tomorrow. If not, hope you have a great rest of your week. Davis Matic has today's Sports Grid 60. Davis, what do you have today?
Yeah, I actually wanted to end it with something contrary to what has been my big message on the show, which has been that Shohei Ohtani should win the AL MVP. I still think he should, but I want to take a moment to appreciate Mike Trout, who, of course, leads Major League Baseball in weighted on-base average and who is getting comparisons to Ronald Acuna. Now people are asking, is Acuna the best hitter in baseball? Can someone else be the best hitter? Is Nelson Cruz the best power hitter? You know, so on and so forth. And really what is incredible is that the measuring stick for best hitter in baseball since 2012 has been Mike Trout. We're literally at a decade now of is X player better than Mike Trout, which other than LeBron James in my lifetime, I really cannot remember one player being the measuring stick of greatness in a professional sport for that long. And I don't think we really recognize just how truly great Mike Trout is at baseball. So just some appreciation for Mike Trout.
Yeah, look, it's no argument for me. The Pioneer League, Minor League Baseball, has determined that after games are tied, after nine innings, they are going to a home run derby. And each team in this is minor league baseball this year, each team will be able to pick one player, and that player will see a certain amount of pitches, five it sounds like, and whoever hits the most home run, that team wins the game. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm excited to have something crazy, unique, and fun, but could it be possible that this would be at the ending of a major league game too? A home run derby to end a game? I understand we're going to go far out there, and I like fun, but I need some time to process this because I think that this is just a little bit too far, I think. Thanks again to James at LTN for Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and David and Craig. See you tomorrow.
guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.